Music by Gustav Holst. The Planets. That was played by the London Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Sir George Schulte. And it also featured the female segment of the London Philharmonic Choir. Here on 90.1 FM. Here's a revised weather forecast for Suffolk County. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms until midnight. Fog, possibly dense, developing after midnight. Lows 65 to 70, winds southwest 5 miles per hour. Sunday, mostly sunny, very warm and humid, with a 20% chance of afternoon thundershowers. High from near 90 inland to the upper 70s at the shore. Winds southwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. And Sunday night, a 20% chance of thundershowers early. Otherwise, partly cloudy with patchy fog, low in the upper 60s to low 70s. Festival Mythos, a celebration of multicultural mythologies and the arts, will take place throughout Philadelphia from September 13th through October 31st. For nearly 7 weeks, the festival will explore the different ways in which visual, performing, and literary artists have interpreted and incorporated myths of different cultures in their work. For further information, call 215-875-4819. That's 215-875-4819. Coming up next here on Long Island's first station in the 90s, Joel Block and Stardate, and then Brain Damage with Eric Corley, who will never say his nickname on the air. This is WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate July 6th. We've talked this week about the orbits of Earth and the outer planets Uranus and Neptune. Earth passed between Uranus and the Sun a couple of days ago. It'll pass between Neptune and the Sun tomorrow. But today, another significant event takes place in the orbit of Earth. Today, planet Earth reaches the outermost point in its orbit around the Sun. We're farthest from the Sun for this year. This is an annual event, and it has a special name. It's called aphelion, which just means farthest from the Sun. Earth reaches perihelion, its closest point to the Sun, in early January each year. For people in the Northern Hemisphere, Earth is closest to the Sun during the winter and farthest from the Sun each summer. It's pretty clear that our world's distance from the Sun doesn't have a major effect on whether it's hot or cold outside. The seasons on Earth are driven almost entirely by the fact that Earth tilts on its axis with respect to the plane of our orbit around the Sun. When the Northern Hemisphere leans toward the Sun, we on the northern half of the globe have summer. When it leans away, we have winter. It's just that simple. So, nothing much happens today at Earth's farthest point from the Sun, except one thing. Sensitive measuring devices aimed at the Sun today could detect that this blazing light in our sky is about 7% dimmer now than it was 6 months ago. Our program is Stardate. Our show's writer and producer is Deborah Bird. For a copy of our Stardate magazine, please send your name, your address, and $1 for postage and handling to the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, Austin, Texas. Our zip code is 78712, and we always ask that you let us know where you listen to Stardate, what radio station. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
You know, I'll tell you something. It's not the wintertime, it's the summertime, and you don't wear mufflers in the summertime unless it's unusually cold.
See the problem here. There's a little cotton. So we're trying to fix the music, and there's a little thing in this device here, this cartridge.
Yes.
It's not there anymore.
Oh.
And that's causing a muffled sound.
Oh.
That should be able to be fixed in about 20, 25 minutes.
Okay, no problem. I was saying that we'll get the brain damage about 20, 25 minutes. I was saying that.
Sorry, I tripped.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get the brain damage in about 30, 35 minutes. Yeah. I was going to say that...
Done it all.
Yeah, well, that too. Have 40, 45 minutes. I was going to say that because we couldn't bring you, or we can't wear mufflers in the summertime, we thought it would be a good idea to muffle the music. So that's why you heard the muffled music.
What is it?
See. Let's see. We're looking for... What are we looking for?
You just keep talking. I'll look.
Okay. No, you're not looking for this, are you?
No, I'm not looking for this.
Okay, fine. I think I'll just put this away up here. Okay, anyway, it's been quite a day for me. I'll say really quite a day. And it's nothing really that happened to me that would be of any interest to anybody who's listening, but it has been quite a day for me. First of all, I'm not going to tell you what happened to me. I'm just going to say that, first of all, what's going on here, in case you've just tuned in and you expect to hear brain damage, we're departing a bit from the regular programming because the introductory theme music that usually opens the program was faulty. The music itself wasn't faulty. It was the tape that it was on. Actually, the tape cartridge that it was recorded on has been used for a number of years now, so I guess it's not surprising that it became damaged. So what Eric Corley is doing... is, I'm not exactly sure, but he has left the studio and completely with the best interests of the audience in mind. I mean, he didn't just go running out in a panic. He is going to find some substitute to open the program. Now, he has indicated that it will take about 25 or 30 minutes to find this, and frankly, I wasn't prepared. I mean, this is no real big deal. It's no problem. We pride ourselves on teamwork here at WUSB, and I wasn't prepared. I had absolutely nothing prepared whatsoever. I didn't even have any music prepared. Again, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that here I am, and I've suddenly discovered that, there's really nothing to do. I mean, that is to say, nothing prepared to do, and it's kind of an interesting situation. I mean, just kind of free associating here is really what I'm doing, and I was saying that today, I'm not going to go into any of the details because they're pretty mundane, but I'm trying to think of the last few days whether there was anything that might be of some humorous or interesting value, or whether I've just had kind of a mundane stretch of time. Let's see. Let me see. Has anything happened that would be of more than just passing interest? Well, let's see now. I guess not. I had a very pleasant 4th of July. It was very nice. A friend of mine and myself did a little bit of driving and went over to this nice little village on the Hudson River, on the west shore of the Hudson River, that is not far from the Tappan Zee Bridge. And we did some walking. We walked down to this pier that they have, and it's this long roadway that kind of leaves the village proper, and it juts out into the Hudson River, and it's a paved roadway with trees on either side, and...
cart is fixed.
Well, cart is fixed. Well, it was a very nice trip we had on July 4th. And now we return to our recording already in progress, which was telling you that we're returning to our recording already in progress. Well, we thought it was fixed. Well, maybe the cartridge itself was fixed, but... Oh, gee, well, the tape kind of... mechanically the cart was fixed. Eric fixed the cart, but now we found out that the tape kind of jumped out of the cartridge. Anyway, it's a roadway where they don't let too many cars on it, and my friend and I were walking down this roadway, and it was really nice, because... I'm sorry, Tony, I didn't mean to be on the air while you walked in the room. Did you have anything to say?
No, I really didn't have anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Actually, I want to thank Tony White for was really a big help in the classical program that was just on. He gave me a big help, and we really would like to thank him for that. But what we're doing now is we're discussing how to fix the cartridge. So what you're hearing now, this is actually kind of a, I think this is in a way a radio first. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first time that you've ever heard people working at a radio station discussing how to fix a piece of equipment right on the air. I mean, this is really radio verite at its best. We started the program. You heard the music. It was very muffled. We didn't think it was suitable for airplay, so we stopped the cartridge. We tried to find a suitable alternative, could not, and are now endeavoring to actually fix the cartridge. If we can't fix the cartridge, we won't be able to continue with the program. And this leads to another question, kind of a theoretical question. I'm sorry?
You were hitting it. It was your fault.
I was hitting it because the muffled sound might have indicated that the tape... No. Wait, let me look at the log here. It wasn't... excuse me?
I said I want you out of here.
You want me out of here? Oh, you're throwing me out of the studio. Well, okay, no problem. Okay, let's see. Hiya. Hey, you know who just walked in the studio? XWUSB program director Michael Simpson. Michael Simpson, who is a very, very significant behind-the-scenes figure at the studio. And it's good to see him here. But actually, things have gotten so tumultuous here now. I mean, not in a dangerous way, but just so excited here that Cabret, who goes on at midnight, has shown up about an hour and 50 minutes early, thinking that perhaps something had gone wrong here. In the meantime, Michael Simpson has arrived. And there seems to be some dispute between Tony White and Eric Corley. As I was saying, this is the first time... Go to music or something? Okay, what's wrong with your voice, Eric? Are you injured or something?
Hit me right in my vocal cord.
Oh, hit you in your vocal cord. Okay, we should go to music? Okay, let's see. Let me see if I can... Oh, there was a record I wanted to play before. Let me go back here. And you'll excuse me for going off mic, but it's kind of a distance away. Let's see, where was that record? Let me see. What's his name? Erling. Charles Erling. I'm drawing a blank here. It's, did I get his name right? I don't even think I got his name right. Charles Erlin, that's it. Where the heck is Charles Erlin? Good record.
It's under L.
No, it's under E. It should be under E. Let me see.
Try L.
No!
It might have been misplaced.
Why L, of all things?
Because when Eric was throwing things at me, he might have taken it out of there.
I don't know about that.
Shut
okay,
up.
Okay, well, we'll pick something else. Okay, nice.
Hey, don't call me stupid. What do you think you're calling stupid?
Play a nice Freddie Hubbard record. This is called, appropriately enough, Breaking Point is the name of the,
is
the record. So we'll put
this.
Some of this on here. And, I don't want to give you the idea that things kind of get out of hand. You know, we have a skeleton crew here during the summer. It's kind of warm here in the studio. I don't mean, you know, that, kind of causing a bit of, a dispute here. Well, let's see. Let's take a consensus here. Do you think that we should go to music or should we continue with this rather lively discussion, I should say? What do you think?
I think we should sign off and let the other station take over.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's a good idea. Let's see. There we go. Let's
Jim, do you
see.
Know what the little rubber things are?
The little rubber things to hold down the tape reels? They might be in the production studio.
Okay,
I think.
Why are they there when we need them here?
I don't know, but I could fill some time if you want to get it.
Let me run over and get some.
Well, no, it's just that you're staying and I'm sitting.
I ran out to fix the car, and I ran out to fixed
well, do you want me to go run out?
Run out and get the rubber things.
No, it's not.
This is my show. I'll just be sitting in that chair.
I know, but I was waiting for you to come here, and then something went wrong with the cartridge, and is there something that we can do to help you here? What I was saying was one of the funny things that happened to me, actually last night, now that I think of it, is I'm having some dental work done, and a temporary part of the dental work came flying out of my mouth. And so I'm kind of talking like Sylvester the Cat because of it. It's not a very serious matter. It'll be easily repaired by my dentist next week, so I'm not concerned about that. But it's just kind of funny because every now and then I sound like Sylvester. And also, my knee has been bothering me a little bit. Again, I don't think it's anything really serious. I can check with my doctor about it, but... every now and then, it slightly gives out so that I have to kind of suddenly I'll be walking along, and without any warning, I won't have the use of the knee. And it reminds me, ironically, of another Warner Brothers cartoon character, not Sylvester, but there was, I think it was a cartoon with Foghorn Leghorn, where Sietz's leg stretched out ridiculously so that he loses the use of it and he has to kind of pull it in when he's walking along. So I kind of feel like a compendium of Warner Brothers characters here. It's kind of funny. And but anyway...
You know what? I've learned one thing from you.
What have you learned?
Only. You're always picking on me. You've been picking on me for the past 9 years.
Tony,
I'm not going to take it
anymore.
Tony,
it's the past 10 years we've been picking on
you. That's right.
For good reason.
10 years and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, okay, good. No. Good. So you know the way out of here, don't you, Tony?
What do you mean I know the way out of here?
No, just asking
you. You shouldn't be taking sides.
I'm not taking sides.
There's a microphone
Tony,
in front of you. You should
I am the Tony.
Now back to you, Carl.
You know that here at WUSB we have, Tony, here at WUSB we have a system where we alternate different staff members each day are responsible for ensuring that other staff members are aware of the layout of the physical layout of the radio station. All I did was... Wait, do you mean mono a mono or stereo a stereo? Maybe quad a quad. But anyway, I just wanted to make sure that you knew how to get out of here. That's all. I'm not saying you have to leave. I'm not saying that. There's a petition with 400 names that says you do, but I'm not saying that.
I'm happy to say Tony has stepped outside.
Okay, thank you. Now, let's see. What's the
those
status
little
of
rubber
the...
things don't exist. They're not around.
Well, does that mean that we can't do the program tonight?
I'm trying to get Radio Moscow on the air, and I can't get Radio Moscow on the air without the rubber things.
Okay, so...
So far in this program,
is there
we've lost the intro, and we've lost the little
yeah.
rubber things.
Yeah.
The only thing we haven't lost that's dead weight around here is you.
Yeah, that's
no
true.
Offense intended.
No offense taken. I would be the first to admit it. As a matter of fact, I think the best thing this radio station can do is fire me at once, if not sooner. But I was going to mention that this is I really think that this is a first, because what you're hearing is a program not in progress. In other words, it's not as if we had a problem with the program and it's continuing in progress, and but you can't hear it. And all of a sudden you can hear it, and we return to it. The program is not in progress. There is no program in progress now. I mean, technically, legally... technically, legally...
I fell off the console.
Yeah. Eric fell off the audio console. But technically, this is brain damage. But in a way, it's not, because it had to be interrupted. And it poses a kind of an intriguing question related
where
to radio.
Damn rubber things? That's the
I really don't know where they are. Have you looked to the left on one of the shelves there?
Yes, I looked. That's the first place I looked.
That's really surprising. You didn't see them anywhere in the other studio. Did you see them in the news booth?
What news booth?
The one that we have just adjacent to this booth, the one we've had for about 10 years.
I never knew we had a news booth.
We do. It's really? Right over there. Yeah, you want to go check it?
Yeah.
Sure. Might be in there.
Nice.
You never know. Yeah, it is. It's actually a very nice, kind of like a little announce booth, and acoustically very, very well designed and pertinenced, and has its own little control console in there, and it's very nice. Eric has gone in there to see if he can find those darn little rubber things. As a matter of fact, he's going onto the mic in there right now. Eric?
How does this thing work? I don't know if I have the right switches up.
You do.
Can you? Whoa!
No, you have the right switches. Don't. No, Eric. No, Eric. Eric, don't
dangerous
touch.
Place.
No, Eric.
Oh.
Eric.
Oh, no.
Eric. Don't touch that. Eric. Eric. Ah!
Woo! Hey, Jim, I, you're overreacting a little bit. It's just equipment. It's nothing really major here. But the fact of the matter is, well, I found this new room that I didn't know existed before. I also seem to have destroyed most of it, but.
Bye. So long, Mr. Simpson.
I haven't found the little rubber things.
Good seeing you.
Yeah, great scene. Yeah, I can only determine that this means one thing. This means that somebody has come here and stolen the
little rubber
things. So I'm going to get the police on the phone here. Okay, and now it's calling 911, and we're now going to speak to... Well, maybe I shouldn't do this on the air. Is it legal to do it on the air?
I wouldn't do it on the air.
All right, so I'll speak to the police off the air, and we'll start the investigation going. In the meantime, if anybody out there knows where the little rubber things are, please come and take them here, because we need them. We need to put the Moscow mailbag on the air. That's all I have to say.
Oh,
really,
okay.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, well, should I play some music?
Soon.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as I... well, banter for a minute. I'm going to try to
banter for a minute
to tape the reel to the machine. Maybe it won't fall off.
Okay.
Anyway, coming up in about an hour and 40 minutes will be Music with Cabrette.
I'm leaving. I'm not doing the show.
Oh, you're not doing the show tonight.
You guys totally put me off.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. Good night. I'm real sorry.
Actually, he is doing the show, but he's going to be doing it from a distance. So I'm going to operate the boards.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Tony and Cabrette will be here after midnight. And
right. Eric won't, though.
What we have to do is fill the next hour and 40 minutes of programming, and I got to get out of here soon, so I don't know what's going to happen. But I just hope Eric seems to be leaving also. Gee, this is a dramatic moment here at, here at 90.1 FM. It's kind of unprecedented. So much activity, so exciting, actually. I just don't know what to make of it. I'm just really surprised. Well, Eric's walked back in the room.
Yeah, I want to thank the many people that have called up with suggestions as to what to, well, most of the people have called up with suggestions as to what to do. Now, the way it boils down, I can probably rig up the take-up reel over there to stay on the machine if I construct a little device that will, in fact, sort of rivet itself onto the console, and hence the metallic manifold as well. And I'm working on that right now, even as I speak. I'm having a little bit of trouble with the springs. They keep popping out. But no problem. We'll get that done. Jim is here to entertain you, and we'll...
What's the matter?
We'll be done in just a jiffy. Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Found it all.
Well, it's good to see someone who can deal with emergencies in a spontaneous and good-natured way. Actually, you know that this program has been on the air for some years now, and it prides itself on a certain, in many instances, spontaneity, but rarely have we, or ever actually, have we ever seen it be this spontaneous, where the theme for the program was just snatched out of the machine because it was defective, couldn't do anything with it. We couldn't find a couple of devices to allow the first feature of the program to go on schedule. So what's happening now is Eric is doing his game best to put that into effect, and it looks like we will have something soon.
Well, yeah, just to sort of tell the listeners, update them as we're going along, what we're going to do now is queue up the queue up is a technical term, meaning get something ready to go on the air. Now, you cannot hear this when we do this. This is something that we do through headphones, and we listen to the upcoming program, and we make sure that it's ready to go. And so Jim will keep talking, and you'll be completely unaware of the presence of what we are doing. But then, at one moment, magically, we'll be ready.
What, you sure they'll be unaware of what we're doing?
Yeah, just carry on.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know, Eric. I think we're pretty much aware of what's going on. But
you wanted to stop making reference to...
Well, it's kind of hard not to. It's a little distracting, really.
This is your wife.
Actually, see, that is... Well, actually, this is something to, I think, to pay some attention to. You're getting an idea of how we prepare tapes to go on the air. What we do, queuing up is a term essentially meaning bringing whatever it is, whatever element, sound element, you're going to be using of a recorded nature to the very beginning so that it can start instantaneously as soon as it's time to start. Normally, we're able to do this through a little speaker that's in the studio that only we hear, but that you don't hear. But we did it. I had to do it on the air this time.
I'm pleased to announce that magically the process is complete, and the program is now completely, as we say, queued up.
Well, and, that was magical.
Nobody has any idea that we were even doing this.
No, I think everybody knows exactly what we were doing. I think that it enriched their listening experience, so that they understand a little bit more about how radio is done.
Yeah, words that
effect. Yeah.
Do I take those phone calls? We have phone calls.
There are phone calls, yeah.
We could take them.
Okay.
We don't usually take phone calls this early, but since people are calling in, 632-6901, give us a phone call, and especially like to hear from those, what do you call them? I hesitate to say regular listeners, but we do have some regular callers, you know, people that call in. And
oh, I see.
People actually remember who they are.
Oh.
I'd like to know where they've been.
Yes.
What the hell's wrong with them, that kind of thing.
So do you want to take the calls?
I can field the calls, if that's, yes.
Yeah, because I guess I better be going.
So. Yeah, why don't you get the hell out
of
here.
You could, I'm sure you'd be very happy with that. Well, it was a pleasure working with you tonight, Eric, as always. Very good-natured of you.
Well, sometimes
there you
things
are
unavoidable.
Well, yes, I suppose so. Excuse me, I'll just take the headphones off here. Okay.
Oh,
did I, sorry, did I...
You rolled the chair right over my foot.
I'm sorry. sorry.
Stupid.
I'm sorry.
Jeez, this has been a regular...
Radio is so confining with the English language sometimes.
Yes, it is.
There's words that I want to use right now that I simply cannot bring to mind. But I guess that's just the way things are. Good evening. It's brain damage time. And we're running a bit late, obviously, because of some unforeseen technical problems. But do you realize we're never going to hear the intro again because it's completely snarled?
What? Isn't there a copy of it?
Probably it's buried under, under the Billy Joel concert of 1966 or something. Yeah, there's probably a copy of it somewhere. So if we really feel like, it would probably make more sense to just do a new one from scratch. It's rather sad, actually, but,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, I'm not. 632-6901. Good evening.
How you doing?
Well, I've had better nights.
How
are you doing? That's the important thing.
Better.
That's good.
Okay, first thing, I listen to your show all the time.
All the time, huh? Well, I'm only on 2 hours a week.
Right, Saturday. Okay. But I really hate Moscow Mailbag.
You do?
It's boring.
Oh, that's, the Soviets would be so displeased to hear that.
I know, I'm really displeased the Soviets, it's a crime, but,
What do you find least interesting about it? I mean, this is information that we can pass on to them.
All the facts that they give, you should just fill it in with music.
Music? But you hear music everywhere.
Yeah, but this is, or a talk or whatever, but not that. That's horrible. It really is. And if I can relate a story to you.
Uh-huh.
We all woke up July 4th, and I live in Comac. And the people on my block all woke up, and we went out to get our papers, and we had found that a person put American flags outside everyone's house on our block and another person's block. Now, it wasn't the town, so we don't know who did this.
Well, that kind of senseless vandalism has been spreading for years now.
Right, but if they are listening, thank you, because that was like a nice gesture.
Oh.
They did, because they did it, must have been like in the middle of the night, and when we woke up, we all had like these big American flags. They weren't like baby ones, these were like huge American flags that they had put up here, so that was...
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they were stolen from someplace that paid for them and displayed them and had them out.
Oh, great, we have hot flags.
You probably do have hot flags, but you'll keep that to yourself.
Yeah. Having any more difficulties now?
No, Jim has left, so everything is going to be smooth sailing from here on in, and Tony White's nowhere to be seen.
Okay, and I just want to say to one person out there, hi, Candace, who is listening.
Hello, Candace, who hopefully is listening.
Right, and hope you have a nice night.
That's a nice night. Nice name, Candace, don't you think?
Yes, I think so. Pretty red hair,
uh-huh.
White face, really nice-looking girl.
White face and red hair. Good combination.
I thought so, too.
Okay.
Okay. Good
See
night.
See you later. Of course, a red face and white hair is nice, too, but it's all, you know, a matter of taste. 632-6901. The program is Brain Damage, and outside agitators seem to be gone for the moment, which is always good news. Good evening. Is anybody there? Anybody there at all? Well, Tony White has stumbled back into the studio. Tony, are you quite recovered from your altercation we had before?
Somewhat.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. I'm fully recovered. I had no problem whatsoever.
Well, you're much lighter than I am.
Yeah, who taught you how to punch anyway?
Take whatever.
Well, go sit in the closet over there. It's actually kind of sad to see what people become if they hang out around here too much. Good evening.
Yeah, I heard that story about the flags.
Yeah?
Same thing happened when my friend lives in Center Reach. I went over there for a 4th of July party, and said he related to me that he woke up and next to his mailbox, he lives with some other students,
uh-huh.
There was an American flag and the whole block was like that. And he was, you know, he was upset about this whole war thing.
Uh-huh.
And he took it out, and you're saying, I don't want this in front of my house, even if it is Independence Day, whatever, you know. And he took it out, and he brought it in the house, and he just put it away.
Uh-huh.
Wakes up the next morning, his mailbox, an aluminum mailbox, smashed, and trash is strewn all over his lawn. And no one else in the block took it off their American flag, but no one else's house was touched.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. Do me a favor. You're in touch with this person, right?
Yeah.
Have this person call me off the air, because I think that's something that deserves to be told to people, not just on the radio, but there should be a news story written about that. That's construing patriotism as kind of like the mob, you know?
Okay, I'll be interested in that.
All right, if anybody else has had any run-ins with the flag this week, please give us a call, too. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Well, that's unusual, isn't it? Jim, you're saluting me. Does that mean you're finally leaving?
Yes. Oh. I was just
saying goodbye.
Well, I applaud the
action
that you have taken here.
I think it's the best thing for the station.
I think it's the best thing for anybody in the 10-mile radius.
No question about it.
All right. Jim, I understand you have a 4-day pass this week because of the holiday.
No, I got to return tomorrow.
You have to return tomorrow?
Yeah, that's okay.
All right, well, we'll see you again in 3 weeks.
Yes,
unless
we will.
do that nasty business again.
No, I'll be good.
Okay, be good this time, and we'll see you on the air for classical in 3 weeks.
Yes,
indeed. And, all right, drive safely.
I will.
And
you
legally.
Too.
Okay.
You too.
I'm not driving, I'm just doing radio things.
Well, safely.
Right. Good night. Bye. Jim is out of here. Let's take one more call. Good evening.
How you doing? Hey,
last
I'm
check.
Listening to you on the radio station, man. That's pretty cool.
well, that's good. Where are you listening from?
Greenlawn.
Make up your mind. Greenlawn. Okay, a lot of people consider Greenlawn to be part of Huntington, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Greenlawn is a nice place.
How are we doing?
How are we doing?
Out of what?
I'm having kind
of... You have
of
a good fourth?
Yeah, my fourth was just fine. No complaints.
Oh, good. Way to go.
Had a barbecue and everything.
So how are we doing?
We're doing just great.
Ooh,
is this like a 15-second check?
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay, anything happening in your... Is this the first time you ever called?
Yeah.
What's that?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
How are you?
I'm just fine. Are you a first-time...
How are you?
Are you a first-time listener?
Yes.
You are?
Not really, but tonight, yeah.
Okay. what's on your mind? Is anything specific?
I want to... Well, definitely. Slayer.
Slayer, all right.
But you know what? I got a beef.
All right, what's your beef?
The beef is, where's the patriotic spirit?
I think the patriotic spirit is oozing out of people's veins.
Really, you know?
Yeah, it's. I think it's all over the place. I think you don't have to look far to see patriotic spirit.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Kenny.
Talk to Kenny. All right, I'll talk to Kenny.
Kenny, how you doing?
You're Kenny.
Boy.
How you doing?
Yeah. I was wondering, do you play heavy metal on the station? Or
well, what? We have a heavy metal show that's on Wednesday nights at 12:30.
I wanted to know if you can do me a favor.
I'll do you any favor you want. What do you want?
Play me some Slayer tonight.
Well, you see, this is a talk show. Legally, I can't play any music.
Do you play Seasons in the Abyss?
Well, you see, that would qualify as music.
I know.
And I'm not allowed to. You see, there's a whole big ugly hierarchy here that tells me what to do.
Oh, but hey, you're meant to be broken.
Yeah, that's what
broken,
I say. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll see what I can do.
This is in the abyss.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
You want to talk to Jeff? Hey, Jeff wants to say
hi. All right, say hi to Jeff, and then I got to go.
Hey!
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. How have you been?
Oh, good. You?
I've had better nights, you know.
Better, yeah. I stayed home.
Yeah. I wish I had done
that. What kind of music you got over there?
Say what?
What kind of music you going to play?
We've got 40,000 records, so we can play anything we want.
Some... Not into metal.
Uh-huh.
Old man.
Okay.
Yeah, laughing. I like slow music.
Slow music.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we'll play the heartbeats that we played last week.
No, not the heartbeats.
Well, we'll do something. Don't worry.
Well, how long are you thinking we're going to play it?
Sometime
to you on the radio.
Sometime within the next hour and a half, because that's all the time we have.
Seasons in the Abyss. Hour and a half. How much money did the guy win? They called up in time.
Uh huh.
I'm on the fucking radio.
All right, listen, Jeff, we got to go. But thanks very much for calling and being a part of this. Yes, it's almost time for Moscow. In fact, it's way past time for Moscow Mailbag. And the other things that we do here, we'll be taking lots more phone calls, though, probably in about 15 minutes or so. Program is Brain Damage. We're on every Saturday night, although we don't have our theme anymore. We witnessed the spectacular death of that earlier. Kind of shocking, actually. Let's take a look at the weather. It's pretty gross and disgusting. It's 20 degrees Celsius out there and 68 on the Fahrenheit scale. I'm not even going to read this. This is too disgusting to even read. But it's going to be very uncomfortable, and people are going to be killing themselves because of this weather. But let's talk about something happier than that. Let's talk about what's happening in the Soviet Union and the wonderful things that are going to be going on there. Yes, answer your questions. You can mail your own questions to Moscow Mailbag, care of Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. That's the entire address. And say that you listen to it on WUSB every Saturday night. And we'll be back in about 15 minutes taking your phone calls, 632-6901.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag.
Here is Joe Adamov to answer your questions. Clarence E. Moe, Tucson, Arizona. What percentage of women go to college after high school graduation?
Clarence, about 17% of those graduating high school go on to college. That's boys and girls. Girls make up approximately half of that 17%. But when I say college, I mean university-level establishments. A thing that may interest you is this. In the number of students per 10,000 of the population, we dropped from 9th place to 23rd. The reason? Lack of funds.
What do the women do that do not go on to college?
Well, what can they do? They may go to some other, say, educational establishment, like a vocational school, that provide teaching in about 500 different trades or professions. They may become nurses, study theater arts, electronics, or some of the girls may go straight to work, because most high schools teach a trade or a profession. So, on graduating, as I've said, they may go straight to work. Of course, others may get married and become housewives.
Employment with certain factories provides housing. What happens if you change jobs with another company? Do you lose the housing provided by the previous employer?
You see, if the apartment belongs to the local council or Soviet, it's yours for keeps. Whether you change jobs or not, it's yours. But in the absolute majority of cases, this is actually so. Rarely, the house may have been built by the factory, built on their money, so it's their property, you see. So if you leave the job, naturally you'll have to vacate the apartment or home.
What cultural groups will you have in the near future performing in the United States?
Well, the Moscow Symphony Orchestra under Kogan will be in the States in September. The Shostakovich Quartet will be in the States, or rather in Santa Fe, in July, and will tour the United States and Canada in October. The Chamber Orchestra of the Bolshoi Soloists will be in your country in November. And the Grigorovich Ballet Studio, which was formerly a part of the Bolshoi Ballet, they'll be in the States in September to December.
In your movie theaters, do you still show newsreels?
No. Newsreels, I'm afraid, are a thing of the past.
What's happening in the Aral Sea?
Well, I'll begin by saying that the Aral Sea is in Kazakhstan. It's an ecological disaster. On photographs, you see sea-going vessels standing on sand, like in a desert. This is the bottom, the former bottom of the sea. Last year, the level fell by another 3 feet. And today, the sea is divided into two separate parts. The inflow of rivers, contaminated with pesticides, is continuing. And there are no signs that this will stop in the nearest years to come. This means people will be drinking poisoned water. The water of the sea has been drained to irrigate the cotton fields, don't you see? And today, out of every 100 people, 70 are sick with hepatitis, ulcers, cancer, or typhus. And about one-tenth of the newborn babies die before age one. Tens of thousands are out of work in the area. There's no drinking water, no drugs. Agriculture, oriented only on cotton growing, is in complete decline. Now, you may ask what has been done. Our parliament has passed a corresponding decision to save the Aral Sea. The question is, when will this decision be implemented?
Describe typical everyday meals a man in the street eats.
Clarence, it's difficult because there's so many different ethnic groups and they all eat different things. So I'll give you what I would call typical, or at least what I think is typical here in Moscow. For breakfast, people usually have tea or coffee, usually tea, a sausage sandwich, if they can get the sausage, eggs in one form or another. We, incidentally, do not eat bacon. Oatmeal or perhaps buckwheat. We also like yogurt. Now, for lunch, fruit and vegetables are always scarce, so we make do with perhaps a cucumber. cucumbers are available today. Then soup, yes. Soup is a must in any Russian meal. Either a cabbage soup, a beet soup, or a meat soup. Now, for the main course, they usually have meat. Again, I say, if you can get the meat, with, say, fried or boiled potatoes or rice. Sometimes meatballs, which we, for some unknown reason, call cutlets. And yes, we eat a lot of bread with every meal, and I think we consume more bread per capita than any other nation in the world. Dinner is more like a light luncheon, I think. That's about the average. I think I've given you an idea. Incidentally, a lot of the things we've forgotten what they look like. Cheese, for instance.
Jonathan Looney, Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Where did your broadcasters learn to speak English?
Well, some lived with their parents in the States in their childhoods. Some were born in the States of Soviet parents, either of diplomats or trade representatives. Others learned it here at the College of Foreign Languages. Bella, I think you're one of them, aren't you?
Yes.
Good. Julie Strelnikov and her brother Vasily were born in the States. Their dad was a Pravda correspondent. Nikolai Kornikov, who unfortunately passed away recently, was born in New York of immigrant Russian parents. He came to the Soviet Union during the war and fought in the cavalry. Lena Baskakova lived with her parents in the States. Olga Bekova was also born in the States. Our science editor, Boris Belitsky, lived in the States with his parents, too. I picked up my English, strange as it may seem, in Europe and went to an American school here in Moscow.
Why do you have so many broadcasts in English to America?
You know, it's the first time that somebody thought we had too many broadcasts to the States. I suppose it's to keep you people better informed about the goings-on in my country.
Michael Craig, Clewiston, Florida. What could the Soviet government have done to prevent Chernobyl?
Well, it should have done what we're stressing today, that is, developing a system of technical and disciplinary measures to make nuclear plants safe. I suppose you noticed that I stressed the word disciplinary, because Chernobyl was to a great extent a result of human error. It was a human factor that caused the disaster.
How harmful is nuclear radiation?
Very harmful. Some scientists say that so far, if we're to believe them, 7 to 10,000 have died whose deaths are Chernobyl-associated. Our scientists also say that of the 600,000 who took part in the rescue work, 6,000 are sure to die. And the peak for cancer in that area will be reached in 5 to 8 years. Unfortunately, today, 3 million people are living on territories that were subjected to radiation. Of them, 700,000 are children.
So what is nuclear power, friend or menace?
You know, our scientists are still divided on that issue. Many of the scientists believe that these stations can be made safe, and they pin great hopes on such things as breeder reactors for the future. Some atomic power stations have been closed down, like the one in Armenia, being as it is in a seismic zone. Several others have been closed, too. Some have stopped operating because, well, the equipment has come to the end of its service life. In the Soviet Union, between 15 and 20% of the electricity is generated by atomic power plants. But, just listen to this. France, on the other hand, generates three-quarters of its electricity by nuclear power plants.
Could the Soviet Union have chosen geothermal energy instead?
No, certainly not, because we're, well, I'll give you an example. We're building the first relatively large geothermal station on the Kamchatka Peninsula at present. Kamchatka is roughly opposite Alaska. This geothermal station will have a capacity of 200,000 kilowatts. And we're also going to build similar stations in the Caucasus and the Ukraine. But you must remember, my friend, that so far, you cannot get much power from geothermal energy. So you would not call it an alternative to nuclear power.
Derek Steele, North Providence, Rhode Island. Is electricity in the USSR 50 or 60 hertz?
It's 50 hertz and 220 volts.
Are the prongs of electrical devices the same as in the United States?
No, they're not the same. Yours are flat and rectangular. Ours are cylindrical.
Some even came in costume. What is it, Tony? What do you want?
You're talking too loud.
I'm talking too loud?
Yeah.
You come in here to tell me I'm talking too loud?
Yeah, just a little too loud.
I'll talk louder than that, Tony.
I really wish
I'll talk a lot louder than that.
You're overpeaking.
Uh-huh. Well, if I want to overpeak, I'll overpeak.
Okay, but
does anyone out there think I'm overpeaking? I don't think I'm overpeaking.
People do think you're overpeaking.
Well, you know, that's just a typical word you come up with, is overpeaking. It probably doesn't even exist anywhere.
It does exist. As a matter of fact, if you stop talking...
Yeah.
You'll realize.
What will I realize, Tony? What will I realize if I stop talking?
Dead air.
Yeah, well, I'll just have to wait for your show for that.
Oh, boy. Wait till your show is over.
That's Tony White, for those of you that have insomnia, stay up for that. Okay, where was I? I'm sorry, folks. I'm all disjointed now. The Supreme Court ruling barring federally funded clinics from discussing abortion was the target of a protest in Midtown Manhattan today, which I didn't even know about. The 5,000 marchers included members of the National Organization for Women and hundreds of activists from other groups. Some even came in costume. As doctors...
Like the one you have on.
You know, I'll keep starting the story all over again until I get it right. Some even came in costume as doctors or the Statue of Liberty with gags or tape across their mouths and other... such things. We'll be talking about that, too, the future Justice Thomas, after 11 o'clock. If anybody has any strong opinions on that, one way or the other, please get them all ready for that. Fire officials think a propane gas explosion in a vacant store caused a fireball to roar through the downtown section of a small town northeast of Baltimore, Maryland today. One woman died when a three-story apartment building collapsed on her. That'll do it, all right. And 34 other people were injured. The explosion leveled three buildings on the town's main street and damaged a dozen others. But, boy, what a way to go. A fireball coming straight down in the downtown section. Beats dying in your sleep, right? The chief of police in Fort Worth, Texas, says he won't automatically resign in the wake of a videotape showing one of his department's officers beating a suspect in custody. The latest rage. In fact, they should have a weekly TV show, you know? America's most brutal police videos. Chief Thomas Windham was an outspoken critic of the Los Angeles Police Department in the wake of a broadcast videotape of the beating of a suspect last spring and said he'd resign if such a thing happened in Fort Worth. Well, guess what? Such a thing did happen in Fort Worth. Today he modified his statement to say he'd resign if the mayor and citizens called on him to do so. Would not give his phone number, though. It's time to try again. A new United Nations nuclear inspection team is in Iraq, hoping to flush out a suspected secret cache of nuclear weapons-making equipment. An earlier team left frustrated and empty-handed, bitter and cussing. But Iraqi President Saddam Hussein is promising full cooperation this time. About 50 Boeing 767 jetliners are to have their engine thrust reversers inspected, with results reported to the government within a month. The Federal Aviation Administration issued the inspection order because of a mechanical problem that apparently caused... Give me that. I wasn't finished with that.
You handed it to me.
I did not hand it to you. You grabbed it.
Are you putting anything in this?
What?
Are you putting anything in it?
No, I'm not putting anything in it.
Yeah, I'm going to put this in
there. Give me strength. Federal Aviation Administration issued the inspection order because of a mechanical problem that apparently caused an Air Lauda jet to crash in Thailand. How you say that? Thailand?
Thailand.
Thank you.
Really
thank you, Tony.
You should proofread that, though, before you go on the air.
Recently. I am proofreading it. What do you think? You think I'm on the air now? Of course not.
You're doing it while you're on the air.
I am not doing it while I'm on the air. This microphone isn't even on.
Proofread it before you went on.
Tony, get out of here before I do what I did to you before again.
As a matter of fact, I should leave, considering what you did to me before.
All right. Anyway, the plane crashed over there recently, killing more than 200 people. It's not even a full moon tonight. I don't know what's going on. Speaking of full moons, Jimmy Swaggart and rival evangelist Marvin Gorman. I don't even know that one. Marvin Gorman. And I take pride in keeping up on the evangelist world. But anyway, Swaggart and Gorman face each other in court Monday. Gorman, who supplied photographs of Swaggart with a prostitute outside a hotel, is pressing a $90 million lawsuit claiming Swaggart conspired to ruin his ministry. But the trial isn't expected to be very steamy, since the judge has barred Gorman from bringing up Swaggart's sex life. That's no fun, but I'm sure many newspapers and journalists will not bar him from bringing that up. 10:58, take a look at the weather here. It's 21 degrees Celsius, 70 on the Fahrenheit scale. Expecting to be cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms until midnight. There'll be fog, possibly dense, like some people around here, developing after midnight. Lows 65 to 70. Sunday, mostly sunny, very warm and humid with a 20% chance of afternoon thundershowers. High from near 90 inland to the upper 70s at the shore. And Sunday night, a 20% chance of thundershowers early. Otherwise, partly cloudy with patchy fog, low in the upper 60s to low 70s. Once again, it's 20 degrees Celsius. Oh, it changed. Now it's 20 degrees Celsius at 68 on the Fahrenheit scale. And coming up next will be this little brief musical interlude, and then the latest adventures of the tripods. And then your phone calls at 632-6901.
If I had my time again, I would do it all the same. Fully grown, and I know where it's at. Somehow I stay thin while the other guys are fat. All the chances that I've blown and the times that I've been down, I didn't get too high, kept my feet on the ground.
That's delightful, delightful.
Battle and change of atmosphere.
I wish I could sing like that. Not everything, singing, you know. The only important thing these days is rhythm and melody. Rhythm and melody.
Change of atmosphere. I can't go on, so I give in.
Radio Free Long Island, in collaboration with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the episodes of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. Last week, Pop found out for the first time that possibly the bullet that entered Charlie was meant for him. And as we join him this week, he's still down at the precinct and apparently not getting answers to the questions at hand.
All right. Now that we've gotten all that straightened out.
Wait a minute. I just wait one confounded minute. I don't plan on waiting around for some madman to come and shoot me. And I've got other plans, you know.
Well, Mr. Tripod, do you want to catch these perpetrators, or don't you?
Oh, of course I do. But there's got to be another way to do it, Inspector.
Well, what would you suggest?
Well, I don't know. You're the cop. Did you check for fingerprints? Or footprints? Shotgun shells? Getaway cars?
I'm afraid we didn't get around to everything. Things have been very hectic around here, you know.
Excuse me, Inspector.
What is it, Watkins?
Your phone. It won't stop ringing.
Well, answer it, damn it.
I tried, sir, but that doesn't work. It keeps right on ringing.
Excuse me, Mr. Tripod. Watkins, I'm a busy man. Now is not the time to tell me you don't know how to answer a telephone.
With all due respect, sir, I understand how to use a phone. It's just that I've never encountered anything like this before.
Watkins, for crying out loud. Oh, bang my foot on the table. Look, step aside. I'll show you how it works.
Inspector, could we get back to me?
In a minute, Mr. Tripod, in a minute. Now, first I have to teach this chucklehead how to answer the stupid phone.
Inspector, I'm trying to tell you. I already know how to answer.
Now, watch, Watkins. I'm going to go over this once and only once. This thing is a receiver. Let's pick it up like I'm doing now and talk into it. Hello, headquarters. Well, what the hell's wrong with this thing? Hello, headquarters. Why does the stupid phone keep ringing?
I tried to tell you, Inspector.
Why didn't anybody tell me anything sooner? This is a very serious matter, Watkins. Call up the phone company and demand an explanation. Hurry up!
Right away, sir.
Monsley, I want you to get on top of the building and disconnect all the phone lines here before this menace starts spreading.
Okay, Chief.
And while he's doing that, Callahan, you call up everyone within 50 miles and find out if this same thing's happening anywhere else. Let's get a move on!
Inspector, confound it all! Well, you get back to me.
I'm sorry, Mr. Tripod. We have these little emergencies now and then. Now, where were we on you?
Well, you see, somebody's probably out gunning for me at this very time.
Oh, yes, so they are. Now, you want a cigarette?
No, I don't smoke.
All right. Now, I get the impression that you don't want to wait until the perpetrator catches up to you for us to nab him.
Oh, that's exactly it, Inspector. I'd rather catch him before he puts me into the amalgamated hospital, along with Charlie. Why should we wait? There must be a few clues that we can work with.
Well, you might be right on that, Mr. Tripod. But that's going to involve quite a bit of work, and I don't... Will somebody turn that thing off?
But for the love of Pete, that's your job. You're supposed to be finding clues.
Yes, well, I'm afraid we can't guarantee anything, Mr. Tripod. I mean, we have a limited staff, and they're all busy doing important things. It took us 3 years to get this wall painted. And now the state wants to put wallpaper over it.
But you're a police inspector. Don't you have more important...
Like I said, we'll do our very best. And I... Excuse me. There. So much for that. Now, we'll see what we can do, Mr. Tripod.
Oh, all right. I guess that's the best I can expect anyway. And before I go, I have one last question.
What's that?
This isn't asking for too much. Could I have an armed guard to protect me from possible harm?
Well, I'm afraid we're all out of armed guards. But I do have something else that might help.
And what's that?
Toby the Wonder Dog.
And so Pop Tripod's future is still uncertain. Are unknown assassins trying to get him? You want to tune in next time when we'll hear Pop say,
"That's the strangest looking dog I've ever seen."
That's next week on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
It should be kicking in by now. It should be kicking in by now.
Wow!
It should be kicking in by now. should be kicking in right now.
Wow.
It should be kicking in right now.
Wow.
It should be kicking in right now.
Wow.
It should be kicking in right now.
WUSB Stony Brook Music from Big Audio Dynamite 2 will be taking your phone calls at 632-6901 in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us.
The 90s are going to make the 60s look like the 50s.
Oh, yes. I just couldn't resist playing that. I don't know why I couldn't resist playing it. It was there, you know? No, that's not from the new Big Audio Dynamite 2 record, which supposedly has come out, but which, through reasons of fate, I haven't been able to get my hands on. This is from the Big Audio Dynamite 2 record that was never released in this country. And from what I understand, Mick Jones wants to forget that record was ever made. I don't know why. Those two songs I thought were pretty good. We heard before the tripod's Change of Atmosphere and just now Kickin' In, which actually takes part of the song Free from the movie Flashback. That's off the album called Kool-Aid. Mick Jones and the new lineup at Big Audio Dynamite. And we'll be doing all kinds of things with that when we get the new record in. And we heard an exciting adventure of the tripods. You know, I was reading, I think it was Rolling Stone, or it might have been Spin, where the budget for the tripod episode. So does anybody else know this? It's approximately ranges from episode to episode, but the highest that it gets is $275,000 per episode. $275,000. I mean, I'm not really, you know, all that knowledgeable about what it takes to put on a radio production, but that just seems like. There's a lot of room in there for waste. And, of course, it's said that most of it goes for Blanche Forthright, who plays Kathy Tripod. His expensive tastes. A lot of us know that firsthand. But so that shocked me, I'll say that. I'm not sure which magazine it was in, but $275,000. I don't know, you know, five-minute radio feature. Just doesn't seem right. That's probably why we had to spend so much money to get the thing. That's probably why the station's in the shape it's in now. The hell are you laughing at, Tony? The station's in pathetic shape. I don't think it's funny.
No.
I don't think our listeners think it's funny.
I'm not laughing at the fact that the station's in pathetic shape. I'm laughing at the fact that you're in pathetic shape.
Well, I'll give you a chance to say that into a microphone. Go right ahead and say it into a microphone, Tony.
I'm not laughing at the fact that the station is in pathetic shape. I'm laughing at the fact that you're in pathetic shape.
Okay, now, if taking cheap swipes at somebody who's on the air and can't physically defend themselves is what you're all about...
You can't physically defend yourself anyway.
Uh-huh, I see. Okay. Well...
I'm stronger
you're just
than you.
Begging
I'm
me to put on another 3-minute cut so I can teach you a lesson you won't soon forget. Because 3 minutes is more than enough time that I need.
This is the funniest show on the air.
Uh-huh. Well, we don't need that kind of funny around here. Tony White, who comes on the radio after you all go to sleep, hopefully. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock. We're taking phone calls at... 632-6901. We've got two open lines. Only two open lines, so rush right in and make those phone calls. We're talking about, well, first of all, it's always open on this radio program. Whatever you want to talk about, obviously, is something that we can do. We're also talking about travel. Yes, travel. Where would you like to go this summer, or any summer, more than any place else? Where on the entire earth? We'll explore the possibilities of how likely that is, because it's not really that hard to go anywhere, I found out. I'll be talking about the new justice of the Supreme Court. You know, should they elect this guy Thomas? I'm told that it's going to be a real problem for liberals this summer, because they don't know if they should support a black person or not support a black person and be all confused, you know. And the conservatives are in the unique position of supporting a black person, which they don't usually do. It's really a trump card that Bush has thrown into the race here.
It's a question of quality.
I'm
more
sorry?
Is it a question of race?
What's it a question of, Tony?
It's a question of, is the right man in there? And obviously, this guy is not the right guy in there.
Well, why do you say that?
I mean, come on, just look at his past and look what he stands for. That tells you all by itself.
You know, I think it's interesting. Bush said race played no part in this. Do you think race played any part in this? Is this a coincidence?
Come
that,
on. You and I both know race played a very big part of it.
Well, he just happened to find the only black judge that there was.
No, there wasn't. There actually is a female that's qualified also for the position.
A female black or
yes,
a female?
Yes, female black.
Hmm. Interesting. I didn't hear about her. And what are her positions on things like this?
Well, unfortunately, I don't want to take up all of your time because it is 22 minutes after 11, so mm-hmm. I'm almost certain that many of your listeners out there, if you'll pick up the phone, will be able to answer that question for you, Mr. Corley.
I certainly will do that. 632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. We're going to get to the phone calls. First, though, we have a simple, single, stupid question. And, of course, stupid questions are a trademark of this radio program. We try to bring them to as many people as possible. If you have ideas for stupid questions, please give them to us, because we know what to do with them. Hello, is this the operator?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I realize this might be kind of a stupid question, but I have a question about a quarter that I found in a payphone. Now, I know that this I made a phone call, and the quarter came out after I made the phone call, so I know I shouldn't keep it, but what do I do with it?
It's yours. You know why?
Why?
Because someone could have made a call, and they forgot to take their change. So it's just like you found the money on the street.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
it's yours.
It's mine. I shouldn't have any guilt about it.
You shouldn't have any guilt about it. If you beat the machine and made the money fall out, then you got a problem.
Uh-huh.
But if it just fell out to you, then it's just as much yours as it is anyone else.
Okay. Well, that's very heartening to hear, and thank you very much for reassuring
me. Very honest person.
Well, I pride myself on that. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, don't you all feel better now? Just don't go beating on those machines. Okay, that's enough stupid questions for today. Again, if you have stupid questions, suggestions, send them in to Stupid Questions, care of WUSB, Brain Damage, State University of New York, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. Or you can even call them in now, 632-6901. Good evening.
Yes, hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. This is Candace. And I'd like to say hello to Alan.
Okay.
From before, I don't know if you remember.
I remember the name Candace, yes. You have the red hair and the white face, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, hello. Is that all you want to say?
Yes, that's all I wanted to say.
You were ringing the phone for quite a long time to say that, haven't you?
Yes. I was talking to him before, and he wanted me to call.
Okay, well, I should point out to him that the phone here has been ringing for a good, 40 minutes? Just so that she could say hello. So I think that's worthy of some credit.
About 40 minutes.
At least half an hour. I mean, yeah, you sat through the two BAD songs, the Tripods, and I think Radio Moscow, too.
No, I wasn't on for the Moscow thing.
Okay, well, you've been on a long time, so you must be eager to get off, so I'll let you do that. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. It's nice when people call up just to say hello. Good evening.
How you doing?
Okay.
I'm Alan, and hi, Candace, again.
All right, what's going on?
Not a conspiracy.
How many people are really listening to this show?
I really think you guys have a really good listening, but at hand, the abortion issue.
Uh-huh.
So little time do we all go to, like, a national election or anything. Only when we go have a national election is to elect a president or a vice president. I think that if this issue is so important, which it is, maybe this time we shouldn't leave it up to Congress or the Supreme Court. Maybe we should just have one general election to determine what the people really want.
Oh, that'd be great. But when was the last time you ever saw an election based on a real issue?
Well, we should have a precedent.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'd love to see that. I mean, you know, we never had an election in this county about Shoreham or about
Shoreham,
the Pine Barrens.
Well, Shoreham, they should have had that open from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Because they made a big stink about that it was too dangerous because it was... They were afraid of another Three-Mile Island, but when no one ever addressed was the same issue that the same type of power plant that was in Shoreham is in Columbia University inside a building. And if something would have happened to that one, what would have happened to entire New York City?
Well, the one I think I know the one you're talking about, it certainly doesn't approach the power that Shoreham would have approached.
Right, but Shoreham was...
In fact, Brookhaven National Labs has a nuclear plant, too.
Right. But on the abortion thing, with that judge that... President Bush picked. He said race had no issue. That's a joke.
Uh-huh.
That's a clear joke because the whole thing was he was so lucky he found a black that supported a conservative issue such as anti-abortion. And I think that the minute, I'm pro-choice, so the minute they take away a woman's right, they can be taken away my right as well, or anyone else's right. And it shouldn't be up to the 500 and something members of Congress or the United States Supreme Court members just to determine what the rest of the nation should have.
But you see, it is up to you because those members of Congress have to answer to you. And you can remember who they voted for in such a case like this.
So right, and then another thing that they said was whether or not the senators have the right to ask the judge, Thomas, what his stands are on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a must.
Yeah, obviously, but you know he's going to sidestep that.
It's such a critical issue that our nation's going to face in the next year or so or even the next few months that if they don't ask him, it's stupid and they should just reject him if he doesn't answer the question because you have to know how he stands on the issue.
Yeah, I agree, and I can't believe they let Souter get away with not answering that question.
Exactly.
They should definitely do that. And the thing is, you know, we have the right. We can call elected officials day and night and insist that they ask that question and insist that they, you know, not take no for an answer. And they have to answer to us because they run for re-election. If we don't elect them, they don't get elected, obviously. And you got to make sure that they know that. 5,000 people today, spontaneous march in New York City, it means something. It means there's people out there and they care. But we've got to make sure that the elected officials see that.
And we have to do this peacefully and we have to mobilize because Roe v. Wade is going to just be a memory.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we really start getting elected officials who are for one side or another, and we really just have to question Thomas until he speaks, and if he doesn't talk, then he can't be a judge.
Mm-hmm. And Roe versus Wade is just one thing that will fall. I'm sure all kinds of other horrible things will happen in a conservative-dominated court.
Right.
I mean, it's an indication. Anti-abortion stance is an indication of some other ominous things to come regarding civil rights. And this guy said that he didn't think integration was a good idea. He likes the idea of black-only schools and white-only schools. That's something that's I find incredible that there's people around who actually believe that still.
Exactly. I mean, he's setting his own people back to all the way to the 60s and the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's anytime the court leans extremely over to the right or to the left, it's bad. And I think if President Bush was the mature person that he tries to project himself to be, and if he was a true politician, well, at least a leader, he tried to pick someone who is a little more towards the left so the court would be a little balanced so that
exactly.
They can get a fair view of all sides.
It's a very good point, and I think that should have been what he did. You don't have to pick somebody that agrees with you. You should pick somebody that disagrees with you so you can have a balance on the court. Yes,
exactly.
Very good point. Sir, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, and hi, Candace, once again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
632-6901. Good evening.
Yes, this is Vicki.
Hi, Vicki.
Hi. You were talking about traveling places.
Yeah? Where would you like to go?
I would love to go to England.
England?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to be there in a couple of weeks.
Really?
And have you ever been there before?
No.
It's a cool place. It is a great place. Do you like New York City?
Yes.
If you like New York City, you'll feel very comfortable in London. Except you got to be careful crossing the streets because they drive on the other side of the road.
Oh, I
know. Yeah, but it's incredibly easy to get there. You can get there for, I think, under $200 easy.
Yeah, because my friend just left, my best friend, and I'm really upset. So I want to go.
By all means, go. What's stopping you from going?
The money and the transportation.
Uh-huh.
So.
Transportation to the airport or just from the airport?
All around from the airport type thing.
Well, a lot of these things you can overcome. You just, first of all, you have to find the time, and, a couple of weeks is what you need. And if you're really into it, you'll find the cheapest fare. Look in those little tiny ads that have the, cut rate discount fares. Because a plane is a plane. It doesn't matter how you go. It doesn't matter if you have to camp out in the airport for, a day or so. As long as you get over there, that's all that matters.
Yeah, because, also, I've always wanted to go there because I've had this obsession with the Beatles for a long time, and I love their music and everything, and I'd love to, go to Liverpool and find out, where they used to live and everything.
You want to cross Abbey Road, I assume?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I went there, and there's people doing that constantly, the Japanese tourists, posing, and it's an incredible sight. But London just has this incredible aura about it, and the people there are just... They're strange, a very nice kind of a way. They all have a very wry sense of humor. And, of course, the way they speak is definitely interesting.
Yes.
So I suggest you do whatever you have to get over there, but definitely go because it'll change your life.
Yeah. You were also talking about the 4th of July, how a lot of people got flags on their lawns and everything.
Yeah, I didn't know about that before tonight.
Oh, well, a lot of my friends got flags on their lawns and stuff. I don't particularly like that.
No, I don't. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Because some people don't believe in the American flag.
Uh-huh.
And especially a lot of my friends don't, because they have their own beliefs about it.
But, I mean, whether you believe in it or not, it should never be forced upon you.
Yeah.
You know, that's bad. When you force something upon somebody, that means, first of all, that you're kind of uncomfortable with it yourself, and you feel you have to ram it down somebody's throat. And then if they reject it, you become violent or abusive. And that's not the way this country should be portrayed. I think we're a little bit better than that.
Yeah, yeah.
So how many of your friends had flags put on their lawn in the middle of the night?
Well, a lot, but I don't have a lawn. So
what neighborhoods do they live in?
They live in normal neighborhoods, like with lawns and stuff.
what neighborhoods specifically? Like Northport, Center Reach?
Smithtown.
I'm trying to figure out if this is all in one area or if it's all over the island.
No, it's mostly like just all over Smithtown.
All over Smithtown?
Mm-hmm.
Where did these flags come from? Does anybody know?
I don't know. People just go around and just place them on the lawns, and I don't know. But I know a lot of people, like my friend, she hated the idea of that. She ripped it apart.
Uh-huh.
Well, obviously she doesn't like the idea of flags being put on her lawn.
Well, it's kind of disturbing whether or not you believe in what the flag stands for or whether you just, you know, don't like things being forced upon you. I don't know. It's just, it seems kind of scary.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thanks so much for calling, and good luck going overseas.
Oh, thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
632-6901, area code 516. Good evening.
Hello, Eric.
How you doing?
How are you?
Okay. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lake Ronkonkoma.
Okay, what's up?
Well, I understand things were a little on the hectic side a while ago. I missed the last few minutes of your show. How have things turned out?
Oh, well, things have patched themselves up. What the caller is referring to, live on the air before our introduction music to this program was destroyed. It just sort of tangled itself up in the machine, and it's gone now forever. And then, of course, we had a fight in the studio, and some people were hurt. Some more than others. I think it's gotten a little bit better now, though.
That's good.
Tony White is still in the studio, so I can't really say things have gotten that much better.
Oh, I wish things were the same with me. I had rather a rough day at work today, patching up a lot of damage that was done by a group of thugs, frankly.
Ooh.
Visiting my store every month.
Group of thugs?
I work at a bookstore in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
And this group of thugs, they're there every month, and they cause no end of trouble. I mean, they look weird, for one thing. I try not to let that bother me, but I'm just illogical enough to be uneasy around them. And it seems to be too much of a coincidence. Every month, every time they visit, all hell breaks loose with our computers.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't know what to do.
Well, I'd hire a professional to either deal with the people or deal with the computers. I don't know. But
I spend the entire day working overtime trying to patch up the damage that they did.
Uh-huh.
And, it's very possible, of course, that it could be entirely a coincidence, that it's just a virus, I know. And I try to to be safe and use the plastic keyboard covers when I can to protect against viruses, but I know that it's just impossible to keep track of it all the time.
Well, I suggest you keep your computer someplace else where the entire Western civilization cannot get at it, and do not have it accessible on dial-ups.
Well, that's easier said than done.
I don't think that's too hard to do. I mean, you know, that'll make things a lot simpler and a lot safer.
Yeah, I
general rule of thumb.
Sooner hire security guards, I think, to keep this unruly band out of my store.
Well, you could hire security guards, but then you got to hire somebody to keep an eye on them.
That could be possible, too. Well, things will work out. It's been a very stressful day.
Okay. Well, you go do whatever you do when you get stressed out. But, remember, tomorrow's probably a day just like today.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
632-6901. Good evening.
Hi.
Hey. Hi. What's up?
I think the flag and the lung idea is pretty good.
Why is that?
I think it's very patriotic to have them put on the front lawn.
Yeah, don't you think, you know, it's kind of forcing it upon people? Patriotism should be something that's shown spontaneously by individuals themselves.
Well, if they don't like it, they just take it off the front lawn.
Yeah, but you heard what happened to that one guy that did that, didn't you? He had his mailbox smashed and garbage thrown all over his lawn.
Yeah?
Yeah. And nobody else in the block had that happen, and they all kept their flags on the lawn. So, makes you wonder, you know, what is really on the minds of the people that did this. I mean, yeah, I'm all for patriotism and everything like that, but when you say you have to be patriotic, then it becomes very different. You know, that's kind of like what Hitler said. He said, you have to be patriotic. You've got to, you know, respect this country and do certain things. But voluntary patriotism, that's the best kind.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, this is Dwayne. I'd like to say hi to Aaron.
Okay.
And I just want to know how big his cock is.
Uh-huh. Well, I imagine you'll have plenty to talk about later on then. 632-6901, that's our telephone number. It's 22 minutes to 12 o'clock. And we're talking about all kinds of fun things, including abortion rights, including traveling all over the world, and the 4th of July. Did anybody see Terminator 2? You see Terminator 2? What do you think of it? Everybody who didn't see Terminator 2 better turn off the radio now. Scott's here.
Gets points for violence.
Uh-huh.
But a real sappy, sentimental storyline with the young kid character.
He was good, though. He was a good actor, I thought.
He was a good actor, and he wore a Public Enemy shirt through the whole movie,
yeah,
which I thought was neat.
Same shirt. It didn't even get dirty.
And the special effects were good. This is probably the best I've ever seen. So, you know, the first one was so vicious that I wanted more of that. This one had... It tried to make you, you know, feel sad, and then sort of loses points for that. But for violence, it made up for it.
Well, you know, I thought it was good because it addressed... Yeah, you know, in the first Terminator, when they came, and really, seriously, people haven't seen this film, should not be listening to this. The first film, they, you know, the Terminator came back to take care of the leader, you know, to eliminate the leader of the war against the machines, which followed the nuclear war. And what always bothered me was the nice guy came back to protect the mother of the future leader. Why didn't the nice guy come back to stop the nuclear war? You know, where billions, literally billions of people were to die. Liquid metal or some amazing technology like that that simply cannot be destroyed, which strikes me as kind of hard to believe it when they do finally destroy it, of course. I mean, we all know that it's going to get destroyed, so... It's kind of hard to believe when it actually does, seeing as how indestructible it is. But, you know, it's kind of sappy at points. And some things didn't seem entirely realistic, but for the most part, I thought it was incredibly, you know, adventurous. Made you feel like you were living right through it. Okay, those people that haven't seen it yet can turn the radio back on, though I don't know how you're going to know to do that if you're not listening. Our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516, and, we'll take a few more calls. He was out there. Good evening.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
You keep on saying you should write to your congressman to complain to, basically, on your if you complain about something, and if he does something you don't like, you're going to always take him out.
Right.
But you only have a choice of picking one congressman.
Well, yeah, but you have two choices, don't you? I mean, you can elect him or you can elect somebody else. And you play on the fear factor. If the guy says, well, these people aren't going to reelect me because I voted this way on this issue, then he's going to think twice about voting that way on that issue.
Yeah, but the only problem is you don't even get the choice who's going to be on the ballot.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, you make it so that this person sees a very simple choice. And, yes, you're right, only one person. You only have effect over one person. But if everybody focused on their one person... You know, like, do you know who your one person is, your elected representative?
My representative's been Downey since 76.
Okay, I don't think you have much of a problem with him, but if, say, Downey were to, you know, go with this guy, Thomas, and ignore all the pro-choice people, you know, you would make clear to him, you would say, Tom Downey, we're not going to re-elect you. We'll even elect a Republican if we have to,
because that's going to be our response to your ignoring our wishes. And if enough people do that, he will listen, most definitely.
Yeah.
I've been told by elected officials that, you know, those little cards and letters and phone calls that everybody thinks doesn't matter. They do count. The thing is, nobody does it because they don't think it matters, and they don't have the time, and they're too lazy to do it. But believe me, it matters.
Yes, unless, say, like Downey, I basically have the same views I have.
Uh-huh.
But after that, I'm powerless because the congressman down the road or down the, in the next state over, who's the conservative?
Right, I see what you're saying. You know, you've won your fight, but what about the other ones?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well,
basically,
by the same token, you can call and write and say, you know, I'm proud of what you're doing, and that makes a difference too. That makes the person move all the stronger the next time. It eliminates doubts that he may have. So yes, you've won the battle, but you can strengthen the victory by sort of reinforcing it with praise or whatever. And also, keep in mind, congressmen talk to each other. And if one congressman says, you know, I had one hell of a response for this, the other congressman might think about it. So you should never be quiet. That's my motto.
Oh, yeah, but it just seems like it.
Plus, you got a senator to work on.
The Northeast are basically going to get crammed out.
Uh-huh.
Because basically the West and the South are basically going to go the other way, and the liberal North is basically going to get screwed.
Yeah, well,
and
again, you know, massive demonstrations and lots of phone calls to all different elected officials from different people, it does make an effect. And getting the media to pay attention, that's all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
And that was especially apparent during the anti-war movement, because if you watch the media, you didn't see any anti-war movement. You didn't see people protesting, but they were there. They were there, and if you went and saw it personally, you realized that what you were seeing on TV was not what was happening in real life. So what you have to do is you've got to make sure the media reflects what's really going on, and that if there's a demonstration of 100,000 people in Washington, D.C., that they don't focus their cameras on the five counter-demonstrators that stand up and say this is wrong, which is what they usually do. You know, you get the media to act as a tool. The media is a tool that all of us have the right to use. And
the media is going towards the other direction now.
Uh-huh. Well, that's something that, you know, everybody has an opinion in and, you know, a say-so to a degree. So, yeah, call your elected representatives, call the media sources. And, you know, you have a lot of elected representatives. And even your local elected representatives, you know, for Suffolk County Legislature and the State Senate, while they may not be voting in this particular case, they will at some point have something to say about it, and they should know how you feel.
Okay, that's true.
Okay.
But I still don't like the idea that we only have basically two choices when it comes down to balloting.
Well, I agree with you there. I think we should have a lot of choices like they do in other countries, you know, like six or seven. And choices where it actually makes a difference who gets elected. You know, we do have a lot of moderates here. That's true. But that's something else that we've got to change ourselves. I can't really tell you how to change that. Hopefully that's something that will evolve.
Yeah.
All right?
That's too late.
Okay, good luck.
Thanks
for calling. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are thinking, which is a good sign. It's always a good sign to have thinking people. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay.
Do you hear that Teddy Kennedy being found on Mars?
Well, you know, I heard about that actually in the 70s.
No, it was on Channel 12 the other day. They found a picture of him, like in the rock formations on Mars. They found a picture of him.
Channel 12.
What's that?
Channel 12.
Yeah, Channel 12, yeah.
That's incredible that they would actually, you know, let that get out.
They also said they found, like, other things on, I'm thinking it was either Jupiter or Saturn. They found something that resembled Pee Wee Herman.
Well, you know, I said it here, and I'll say it again, that when that space telescope went up, it would change the world. And apparently I was right in more ways than I know.
There's a lot of stars out there.
Yeah, and did you see the article in the Inquirer about Castro being dead of a heart attack and a mysterious double taking his place?
Yeah, I don't know about that, though.
Well, that actually happened a few years ago, but at least the story got out. That's the important thing.
And there was also read that there was a 10,000-year-old man was mummified, was found in the trunk of a tree with a watch that was still ticking.
Well, there you go. that tells you something. And I wonder what brand the watch was.
I think it was Swatch.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's good to be updated on these things. Thanks for calling. 632-6901, good evening.
It's the template.
Say again?
The template.
Uh-huh, what about them?
It's the template, Ramsey.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's good. Whatever it was you said, I'm sure it means something to you, and that's the important thing. Well, that sounds like the Confuse the Operator music. Except we're not really confusing an operator tonight, so I don't know what the producers are thinking by playing this. We're going to try and reach out and touch a Yugoslavian. Well, maybe that's an unfortunate choice of words, but we're going to try and reach Yugoslavia. Remember, we were trying this last week. We're going to try... Oh, pick a city. What's a good city? Let's go for the one I couldn't pronounce last week. Ljubljana, I believe that's how you pronounce it. The one that's the capital of Slovenia. We're going to try to reach the radio station there and see if anybody is around in the English language department. And the sun is rising in Yugoslavia even as we speak. And the country code to Yugoslavia, as we mentioned last week, is 38. And country code for city code for Ljubljana is 61. And those little beeps you hear are me dialing the actual phone number. Let's see what happens. We got a line. And that's a phone ringing. A phone ringing in Yugoslavia. Notice the rings aren't even synchronous. One is short, one is long sometimes. Very weird. Possible the radio station isn't open 24 hours. So, give it a couple more rings here. I like that one. That was a nice quick one. Wouldn't it be cool if your phone rang like that? And you were the only one in the neighborhood whose phone rang like that. Well, you'd have quite a reputation. Okay, we're going to give up on Ljubljana then. Not in spirit, though. We're going to... Oh, you know, something just happened then. Something just happened when I hit that button. I'm going to see if... Well, no, probably the person that picked up would be very angry. Because it did ring about 25 times. So we're going to try now Zagreb, which is city code 41. And we'll try the radio station over there. Zagreb being the capital of Croatia. Different ring. Our phone number is 632-6901. And that's area code 516. Country code 1. Well, it doesn't look like we're going to get through to Yugoslavia. And it's unfortunate, too, because... our program is on at such a time where it's always about 6 in the morning on a Sunday whenever we call there. But I guess that's just the nature of things. We'll keep trying, and if trouble breaks out, like in another part of the world where, you know, it's more reasonable time when we're on the air, then we might actually get through to somebody. Well, we didn't confuse an operator, but I feel a little confused. And you can jump in, too, at 632-6901. We have 8 minutes left. And tell us what you think of the Supreme Court. what particular place in the world you want to travel to, or anything else. How was your 4th? Did you see Terminator 2? These are the important questions of the day. Now, it's going to be an interesting summer, that's for sure. The confirmation hearings are scheduled to begin on, sometime in August, is what I understand. And by everybody's account, they're going to be messy, to say the least. And I'd sure like to know how people are going to vote, how our elected officials will treat this, because on the one hand, they can gain points by voting for a black judge. Wow, a black judge. What a amazing thing that would be. But on the other hand, they can lose by voting for somebody that could conceivably be responsible for overturning Roe versus Wade and God knows what else. So it's a real problem. Real problem. We have a lot of sympathy for our elected officials, but it's something that we're going to have to see how they handle it. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yes, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Don't bother me. You know, you ever hear a species called a sponge that lives in the ocean?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Okay, I was wondering, if they didn't grow in the ocean, do you think the ocean would be a little bit deeper?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I'm trying to think of somebody I can ask that to next week. Well, certainly it would have a lot of problem with absorbency, you know, probably be seeping all over the place. I'm sure that, look, let me put it this way. I'm sure there'd be a major problem if there weren't sponges, not just in kitchens, but in the ocean, too.
Okay, and before I go, I got another question for you. When you blow your nose, do you use your left hand or your right hand?
Well, what if I don't blow my nose at all? Sometimes people just sniffle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But when you do you use your left hand or your right hand?
You know, I guess I use my right hand, but I have to think about it. Yeah, I think I do use my right hand.
You don't use a Kleenex?
Oh, that's real funny. Real funny. Oh, I got a job at a circus, huh? Man, you believe that caller? He made a fool of me. Can't believe it. Why waste tissues? I mean, really. Anyway, it's 5 minutes to 12 o'clock. That was actually quite good, I must say. 5 minutes to 12 o'clock, and it's getting pretty hot in here. It's 20 degrees outside, which is 68 in the Fahrenheit scale, but inside it's a full 26 degrees, which turns out to be 79 on the Fahrenheit scale, so the tempers are naturally getting a bit short. Now, Tony White came in here before and, like, muttered something at me while I was... What did he say? Because I was talking to somebody in Yugoslavia, and he was, like, muttering something.
To begin Cabret's show, no sound test. Start this tape deck.
It's on that tape, so Cabret is on tape.
Yes.
He really did walk out in the huff before.
He did.
Because we got into that fight on the air, and, well, not me and Cabret, me and Tony White. And apparently, Cabret's one of these bleeding heart liberals that doesn't like violence in the control room. Well, I don't agree with that, do you?
Cabret loves violence.
But not in the control room. He's got this thing about violence in the control room.
Bottom line is he loves violence.
Yeah?
I love violence.
Then why did he storm out of here?
Why?
Yeah.
He had someplace to go.
Yeah, right, he had someplace to go.
He did. He's supposed to MC a concert, a reggae concert tonight.
Uh-huh. And you
it's
believe
very
that?
Little that you know.
You believe that, huh?
Yes, because I went downstairs and I saw the entourage that he had in the car with him.
The entourage, huh?
Yes. They were all yelling, Cabret, Cabret, Cabret.
Wow, I wouldn't get into a car like that, would you?
Well, if you saw how nice looking the girls were, yes, you would. But then again, I've always questioned your masculinity anyway.
Okay, well, we all have a chance to question it in person in just about 4 minutes from now when I leave the radio and...
No, buddy, I want to question it now.
Okay, well, then go right ahead. Go right ahead, because it's right now there's nobody on the phone to question it for you.
No.
Uh-huh, just what I thought. You're hearing Tony White's version of what he knows about just about everything. Uh-huh. Okay. Glad that you were able to share that with us. Our phone number is 632-6901.
I'm going to shatter every bone in his body.
Anyway, should we try Yugoslavia again? No, I don't think we should. They might get sore at us, and we don't need that. But we will keep trying to get to Yugoslavia. In fact, I'm going to be in... I swear this, folks. I'm going to be in Yugoslavia this year. and a lot of parts of Eastern Europe as well. So if people have suggestions as to what I should bring back or what I should try to find, I'm open to suggestion. In fact, you can suggest something right now. We have a couple of minutes, 632-6901. But please keep your suggestions civil, because, you know, I get all these other suggestions from people I see day to day. I don't need it on the phone as well. Good evening.
Hi. I'm just calling because you've been trying to call Yugoslavia. Have you tried a number in Belgrade at all?
Well, I figured Belgrade would probably pick up. But actually, they probably would be kind of distanced from the actual situation that was going on.
Well, from what I heard, I just came back from there about 2 weeks ago.
You were in Yugoslavia?
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was just on the phone to a Yugoslav girl in France this morning.
Uh-huh.
And she said that the people in the Serbian Republic are getting really active, and that the government is telling them to prepare for war and so on and so forth.
I heard there's quite an anti-war movement that's starting in the capital.
Really? I haven't heard that. I've heard that people are signing up for militias.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Serbian people.
That's something. Yeah, the Serbian and Croatians are you know, going tooth and nail, supposedly. So that is a possibility. But I've seen on TV a couple of anti-war demonstrations, and it seems to be picking up steam.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. The people also in Kosovo, the Albanian people, my Serbian friend told me that what people in Serbia think is that the people in Kosovo are also going to rise up.
Uh-huh.
In other words, and open a second front with Serbia.
Yeah.
So people are just getting this whole hysteria now in Serbia.
Now, let me ask you a question. You traveled through Yugoslavia. Did you travel through all the provinces?
No, I was working on a project in Croatia.
Uh-huh.
And I was just briefly in Serbia.
How hard is it to get around there?
Oh, it's fairly easy, although at the moment it's tightening up, especially if you're coming from Serbia into Croatia.
Uh-huh. So there's borders at the between the different areas.
You should be okay as long as you don't try and take pictures.
Oh, really? They don't like that?
Well, not if you take pictures of anything military.
Uh-huh. I see. Okay, well, do you plan on going back there?
Well, I might go back if guerrilla fighting breaks out in the next week or so.
You might go back if fighting breaks out?
Yeah.
Are you a reporter?
I'm a photographer, yeah.
Oh, wow. So you must have a really tough time when you have to take pictures of things and they don't like people taking pictures.
Well, that's normal.
Uh-huh.
But,
have you ever been in a war situation before?
Yeah, I was in Belfast and in Israel. And...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so you really get around. That's impressive. I'd like to just go over there and just, talk to the people and, see it from my own eyes, you know.
Well, do you speak any of the languages?
No, that's a problem. That's definitely a problem. I do not.
It shouldn't really be that much of a problem there. People speak English fairly frequently. Most people speak English.
Uh-huh. One question I have had, no one seems to be able to answer this. Rail travel, is it expensive over there now or is it cheap still?
No, it's fairly cheap.
Yeah?
Yeah, as long as you go, like a tourist class, first class is more expensive.
Yeah, first class.
Reserved is always more expensive.
Uh-huh. But if you just hop on a train, it's really pennies, literally.
Yeah. It's cheaper than staying in a hotel.
Uh-huh. Have you been to any other Eastern European countries?
No.
Uh-huh. Because I was considering going to Bucharest, too, and seeing Romania.
Well, that might be interesting. Albania.
Albania, that's my lifelong ambition to go to Albania. Except now it seems to be a lot easier than it was, say, a year ago.
But it's supposed to be really interesting what's happening there now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you're interested in conflict and...
Yeah.
Overthrow of governments and
well,
such.
Well, you know, I may very well run into you over there because we seem to have the same interests as far as this kind of thing. And Eastern Europe is really a fascinating place if you take the time to study it a bit.
Yeah, it is. So is the Soviet Union, of course.
Yeah, the Soviet Union, too. I think what we're seeing in Yugoslavia is something that we're going to be seeing soon in the Soviet Union, and that's going to be scary because, they've got nukes. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
Well, I sure hope that they don't use them.
Yeah, against their own people. Imagine that. Thanks so much for calling. Good luck. Let us know if you go over there again.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Okay. And that's going to pretty much put an end to us for tonight because, we're out of time. Cabret's on tape, and we all know that he gets very angry when he's on tape and he's not on time. So we have to put him on the air real soon. But we have to figure out what buttons to press and what buttons not to press. For instance, that was a button I should not have pressed. Okay. Put those knobs over in that position. This has been Brain Damage. I want to thank everybody who was out there listening. Thank those people who called in. And remind you, warn you, that we will be back again next week between the hours of 10 p.m. and 12 midnight. And of course, if anything happens in the world, we'll talk about it then. Something happens to you this week, remember to jot it down. and think about it and talk about it on the air next week. You know, that's what we're here for, sort of a clearinghouse of information. It's the least we can do for you, our listeners. Eric Worley will be back again next week. Good night.
Listening to the music of Little Toby Walker and the Rocket. And they will be appearing live at a benefit for WUSB Tuesday night, July the 9th, 1991, at Tattletales, which is located at 5030 Ness Concert Highway in East Setauket. Admission is an amazingly low $5. You just can't beat it. An evening of music with Little Toby Walker and the Rocket. And the Blues Show, hosted by Joe Litzkowitz, Dave Gutman, and yours truly, Ed Davis. So join us at Tattletales, Tuesday night, July 9th, 1991. If you need any further information, you can call us here at the station, 632-6901. Hope to see you there.
Triple USB.
WUSB.
WUSB. Hi, everybody. This is Coy Dog Pondering. You're listening to 90.1 FM WUSB, Stony Brook, Long Island's first station of the 90s.
Yeah, she owns her.
Fine. Kingston. Remember them a nice girl in a drum dung. They walk on the road and just a wind them back home. I stick it on the fast away to the boogie dung. How do we come and dance around when I make the fun? It is a serious something. Sound clash nowadays are the in thing. Operator them today, not joking. You know what I mean? It's a serious something. Sound clash nowadays are the in thing. Operator them today, not joking. You know what I mean? Something is a serious something. Guns are loosing, a dance are the in thing. Especially when the heavyweights are playing. Lord of mercy. Nowadays when you go to a sound clash, you have to stay till morning call. Cause it's war with every selection. I hear town have to get through them. Look how the liquor selling. Promoter don't stop smiling. Massive ball power when a boom shot drop. Man from round the corner does a lit two shot. Because it's something. Is that serious something? Don't clash nowadays at the inting. Operators in the dance not ramping. You know what I mean? Something. It is a serious something. Guns are looting and that is at the inting. Oh, when the heavyweights are playing. You know what I mean? Every day from a student to student, trying to get a dub play from every producer. Take a lot of money, but it just came back. Cause tonight he may be under rock time. This is like murder, this is not laughter. When we check it out, this is a nuclear disaster. And now it's just it's like a buffalo soldier. Lick down a while when they pass up at the border. They will be on the side, they discover we area. Once if it don't last time, I got era. If you move it off, you know what that's a danger.
Just like a lamb to the slaughter.
I said to the slaughter, I've got them. Oh, it's on the slaughter. Oh, you're on the slaughter. That is a wanna call a young girl slaughter. Oh, you're on the slaughter. Yes, it's on the slaughter. That is a wanna call a young girl slaughter. Look how them dress up like a big timer. Makeup and lipstick, eye pencil, eyeliner. In a short minute like them is a fast whiner. Wine from the dance floor until it gets shiner. Move up her waistline, move up her shoulder. Wine and go down and then she turn over. Kick out her foot like a knee having water. Too she tired, she starts to blow faster. Oh, yeah, the slaughter. Yes, it's a the slaughter. Land is a wanna call a young girl slaughter.
Oh, yeah, the slaughter.
little girl in the corner. Now, she's just a stubborn creature. But when you pull a little girl in the corner, it's going to be a sure slaughter.
Big body one day, it's up in a corner. Hang up on a man like a champion bubbler. When the music sweeter, it rise up on nature. Cool bump on a skin, make it feel like a greater. The big body one day, she a the teacher. Every time she dance, she look more sweet than a barber. Cook home one day, she a the danger. When she a dance, she will mash up any stranger. Oh, yeah, the slaughter, Lord of the slaughter. Yes, this I wanna call a young girl slaughter. Oh, yeah, the slaughter, Lord of the slaughter. Lord, this I wanna call a young girl slaughter.
My,
my, I get so every day I'm fighting over world power. Me wanting like Noah, every minute and hour. Man on no people long on your nuclear tower. Mix up and blender, make the time tender. And I feel that it would happen not to surrender. Listen to the teacher, just like a preacher. Living like a creature, but life is more sweeter. I'm a poor pleaser, don't need to leave ya. If I were a one of them, give me no veins. I want you to be dancer, down on the dancer, down. This is a one I call the nuclear slaughter. Bones a disaster, down a disaster. Down this a one I call the nuclear slaughter.
My, 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 my.
Lord,
sure slaughter tonight.
That's true.